You know, I didn't talk to French, Robert French, about renewal and all that stuff. I was just putting a message together and all this came together. So this morning, or this month, I'd like to talk about how do we stay in the light. And to stay in the light, we have to be able to keep renewed. Amen? So renewal through brokenness is what I want to talk about. Until we are nothing, God cannot heal us or restore his heart in us. That's Martin Luther that said that. I think that the biggest challenge that stands in the way of hearing God's voice, his word, transformation, is the fact that we fight to be something. And God wants us to make us in his own image, but we are always fighting to go our own way. We are like a stallion that is going out of the wilderness, but will not submit to the owner. And so always fighting, that stallion will do nothing for that owner. But once it submits, it really can be renewed and they can do a lot of things together. So this morning, I want to talk about renewal through brokenness. Now, when I talk about brokenness, I don't want us to focus on the simple brokenness. I give them my heart and they broke it. That's not what I'm talking about. That's falling in love and all that. And God can fix that too, by the way. I'm talking about us letting go of stuff that gets in the way of our relationship with God. And so we're not able to focus and be connected to God. And we're not able to be what we can be, even though we're disciples. And we struggle with that for a while and wonder what's going on. And we need some renewal. That's what needs to happen. Isaiah 57:15. For this is what the high and excellent one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Two dwelling places of God. One in the high and holy places, but also the second part with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Let us make it very clear. Being contrite and lowly is not morbid at all or self-pity. It's far from that. It's rather coming to a place of realizing I need God. I think we agree mentally. I don't think we feel the need of God. We agree mentally, I need God. But emotionally, it's not a reality for many. For many people, that's an illusion. They have battles within their hearts that they've never given to God. Because God says, I stay in that place where people are contrite, where they're broken, they're lowly in spirit, they need me. You know, when you've lost everything, you come to that place. People that have been through a lot of tragedy, get to this place and say, you know what? I need God. But if you've not gotten to this place, sometimes you just keep fighting. And God is saying, I stay with these kinds of people. The point I'm trying to say is this. If you are not allowing yourself to say, you know, God, I need you emotionally, then you're only doing it mentally. And because you do that, you miss out on God. But you can be in church week in, week out, and hear nothing that drives you to, I need you to renew me, God. And that is why we can get dull, tired, and not know what's happening. We're not connecting with God. There's no renewal going on. God is not dwelling in our hearts. He's dwelling in our brains. We understand that very well. But in our hearts is a battle, a struggle. So why do we know so much and yet feel so tired? Because God is not dwelling in our hearts yet. That's what's going on. When you understand that, renewal start taking place. God can heal a broken heart, but you need to give him all the pieces. So let's talk about the pieces of your heart. Because I think we all have, our hearts are split in so many places, depending on what has happened to you. Maybe it's first split in a half, then in a quarter. But it can be split in so many places that you give God part of your heart, but there are pieces you never give God. There are pieces you hold on, and you said, this is mine to keep. And God can only heal that when we give every piece to God. Let us talk about those of us who've been hurt, and let that hurt feeling stay and grind us and hold us down. And so we never give ourselves wholly to God because we think, I'm hurt, I can never let that part come out. Or no, you came to Jesus to restore you so that he can heal you and deal with everything in your heart and be renewed again. Amen. To do that, you have to unmask and God won't ignore you. Psalm 51, 16, 17, a scripture we know very well. David wrote this scripture after being in conspiracy with the killing of the husband of Bathsheba. And so at this point, he's able to come to a place where he's talking about it. Says, you do not delight in sacrifice. We sacrifice a lot. And that's not a bad thing. There's a place for sacrifice. Or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offering. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart you will not despise. David came to this place after being found out and realizing this, the gravity of the sin he had committed. And he said, you know what? This I will not despise. I have to come clean with God. There are sins in our lives that we don't unmask. We act like David when he was busy acting like, okay, let's just put him on the front line. Let him die there. And nobody will find out that this child that's being born was my child. But God has a way of bringing things out. Then when he brings things out, many of us get caught in shame and guilt instead of repentance, renewal, and say, God, thank you for showing me this so that I may be different. So what you need to do to get renewed is to unmask. To unmask the church play, to unmask the church face on Sunday and another face on Monday, to unmask the Christian faith or the Christian heart for 2 hours and another heart the other 7 days or 6 days. We've got to unmask this stuff. The conflicts that come within us and the anger that comes within us, we've got to deal with that so that God can renew us. You see, sometimes as Christians, we belittle sins and we say, this is a big sin, this is a small sin, this is a 20% sin, this is 80% sin. Oh no, Romans says all sin is everybody's sins, and we got to deal with that stuff so that we can come to God and be renewed. Amen. You see, whatever you don't deal with begins to dull you. Whatever you don't deal with in your heart begins to eat you away. And some of us are in the game of, I'm going to deal with this privately. Oh, no, no, no. You need help. And help comes in two ways. David was given the word of God, and a prophet came and spoke to him. The prophet is your friend. The prophet is your safe guy that is trying to help you out to repent, your discipler, or whoever that is. It's so that you can transform and be different. Does that make sense? When we don't talk about these things, we're not unmasking. We become captive. We become enslaved by whatever we do not bring to the light. The light is not designed to make you to feel shame and guilt. It is made to bring you out, to make you new, to be refreshed, so that God may lead you in the ways that you've been missing out on. Amen? The way to God is spiritual poverty. Right now, we're having AC poverty going on right now. There's a bit of AC poverty in this building. It's hot. You can blow yourself. That's okay. Don't worry. Go ahead and blow a little bit of that. It's uncomfortable and all that stuff. But you know, I was thinking about it the other day, and I said, I used to take this weather for years without AC. And that was pretty good with the water and all that. And I said, yeah, you can do it. But you can move to a place where you can't. You almost feel like, I cannot do without AC. And for a while, I was thinking that the other day. Then mine broke in the car, and I realized, wait a minute, I can do this. Now, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poverty of spirit is a place of vulnerable confession of who we are. We stop playing games and we start saying, I have these sins that need to go. I need help. Some of that will be mended quickly. Some of that will take time as you get help and walk through the character things that God needs to walk through. Does that make sense? But if you're comfortable, then you cannot find God because you're wealthy. You don't need God. Blessed. Happy are those that are poor in spirit. It is supposable that the reason you're not getting renewed is you're comfortable. You get comfortable. But you're going to get comfortable in the wrong place. A place that destroys you. For us to be renewed, we have to get spiritually poor. So when is the last time you talked about your spiritual poverty? Just talked about some things you need for God to show you and all that stuff. We hardly talk about that sometimes. We just go on and on and on. We're not saying, I need some prayers in this area. It almost becomes unspiritual to talk about what's really going on. We should all just get along and be quiet and we'll be fine. I said, no. We got to learn to speak about these things because then we get renewed and God can do amazing things. We cannot get too comfortable in our sinful lifestyles. You know, if you're a married couple, think about that. Are there dynamics in your marriage that need to be brought about so that the repentance can be brought into that marriage and God can bless it? If you're a parent, how is that going? If you're a child, how is that going? If you're single, how is that going for you? We have to look at these things so that we realize the only way I can get to God is spiritual poverty. If that's not happening, you're not going to get to God. You get comfortable and get stuck. Now, to do the above, brokenness, then you have to come to this place of brokenness. And let's talk about it in James 4, 7 through 11. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Because you are beginning to see your need, you're going to start submitting yourself to God. And as you do, you begin to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and you purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. There's some things that we got to do well here. One, come to God and he'll come near to you. We've got to do that because we realize we're poor, we need God. What does he say? Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. We've got to deal with our sins. Amen? We've got to deal with sins. It's not a bad thing at all. Dealing with sin is a very good thing for your life. You feel happier, joyful. When you don't talk about sin, you're always afraid to be found out. Why would you live in fear and you're a Christian? You're supposed to live in faith. Let's deal with our sin. Does that make sense? And purify your hearts. Double-minded. We cannot have two minds. Maybe the world has something to offer. Oh no, Jesus has something to offer. The world cheats you out of your life. There's no double mind about that. Grieve and mourn and wail. Grieving is letting go of stuff. Mourning, letting go of stuff. Wail, change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Stop coping and start becoming real. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. That principle is true, that humility before him doing his work. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. You know how that can go, right? So you opened up here and somebody's talking about it there. But we really make sure that we're helping one another, not slandering one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister judges them, speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting on it. I have said a lot about people who slander and talk about things and make it unsafe. We've really worked on being safe and we need to be safe. Now, let me switch the other side. I will not stop talking about my weaknesses just because I think you'll slander. Because God is bigger than that sin. I will not stop being godly because there's a guy that I will confront that. I will confront that, but I will not stop being godly because of some weaknesses somewhere. It doesn't work like that. I will not stop being godly because of a human weakness. And I think that we've come to a point where we use the weaknesses of a human being to stop being godly. Who is bigger, a human being or some human being that is gone crazy with his stuff? And by the way, that human being is me, that human being is you. Just in case you're wondering, what human being is he talking about? That's me and you. So we create all these things in the dynamics of a healthy congregation because we are letting weaknesses hold us back. Oh no, we've got to rise above it and do what God wants us to do. Amen? So, before I go back, let me go back here. So brokenness leads to submission to God. That happens because you're broken and you come to a place where you feel like, you know what? I cannot do this without God. I need Him. Let's move to the next one. Brokenness takes place when we die to self. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." The idea of preserving yourself is that you stop being effective. But if you die, that God will multiply and use you many times over. And Jesus is talking about this with the cross. If you look at the cross, you see that happening. That as Jesus died on the cross, much more happened. We were saved. The centurion said, "This surely is the Son of God." Anyone who loves their life will lose it. This is the irony of our spiritual life, that if you think you own your life, you're going to lose it. While anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. It's opposite the principles of this world. The world tells you, get it right now. Oh no, you're losing eternity with that. No, no. Give away your life now and God will walk with you eternally. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Question, how is your following of Jesus? How are you doing in that area of following Jesus? Where he is, you're there. How is that going for you? At work, at home, on the streets, in the driving neighborhoods, and all the things we do. How is it following Jesus for you? Does it even resonate anywhere that I should follow Jesus? Is it something that, you know, yeah, I should be following Jesus in this area. What's going on there? Because he's asking us to do that. But unless you're broken, it will not happen. It will not happen. You'll keep preserving yourself. That's what we tend to do. I mean, if I may take a tangent off this for a while, if you think about it, the reason it's so hard to tell anyone about Jesus is because you're afraid of rejection. You're afraid to say, "Hey, can I tell you something about Jesus? Who are you to tell me about Jesus?" That makes you cringe because it's about you. If it's about God, he doesn't like the party. Let's see what the other guy's got to say. I have fun with telling people about Jesus. Some people don't even talk to me. They listen to me and walk away like I said nothing. And I'm like, that's okay. The party was being invited, but you didn't want to come to the party. Anyway, I'll go on with another guy. That doesn't give me a reason to never talk about him again. No, actually, it gives me a reason to talk to the people that want to hear about him. Anyway, let me keep going. I can see you're getting hot down there. Let's finish here. In all these things we've talked about renewing yourselves and getting broken, the question then that we want to end with, do you want to get well? Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holidays. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. That's a long time. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" The answer is very interesting. I can't, sir, the sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool. When the water bubbles up, someone else always gets there ahead of me. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat and walk. I'm fascinated with what's going on in this story. And the question for all of us today is, do you want to get well? Do you want to get renewed? The answer is simple, yes. But wait a minute. He was lying there. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, would you like to get well? I can't. So that's what he answered. It is possible that every Sunday, every midweek, you get that question, do you want to get well? But your answer is, I can't. And here's what you say. The sick man said, for I have no one to put me in the pool. Jesus is speaking to you, but you're focused on someone else. I have no one. No, he's speaking to you. He's not asking for the guy next door to help you. He wants to help you. You're basically saying, I have no one. That is how we can get so caught up in old ways of living that we now wait for some guys, some people to come and save us. And Jesus says, I'm right here. I'm ready to do it with you. He asks him, can I help? He says, I have no one to put me in the pool. When the water bubbles up, he's talking about water. Jesus is the answer. What side shows are you looking at, hoping that that will help you instead of coming to Jesus? What is it that you're looking at, hoping that help comes from north, south, east? Jesus is the answer. You may think that with a lot of money, your issues will go away. No, Jesus is the answer. Yeah, you may need the money, but without Jesus, the money will make you crazy. You need Jesus to do this well. You may think, if just this went away, I'll be okay. No, you need Jesus to do that well. Does that make sense? I can't, sir, the sick man. I have no one to put me in the pool. When the water bubbles up, the focus is totally on the wrong things, not on Jesus. Someone else always gets that ahead of me. Oh, it's not about other people. Is it possible that the reason you're not fighting for your spiritual wealth is because you look around and say, but they're just like me? Yeah, I saw him. Why should I work hard spiritually? They're just like me. I saw Robert. I saw whoever. You can point to different names. He's just like me. Now, I'm not saying there's something wrong with Robert. I chose the guy. I like to tease him a little bit sometimes. There is nothing wrong with, you cannot live your life comparing yourself with everybody else. What is God calling you to do? He was thinking about other people. They get ahead of him. Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat. Do you realize that Jesus did not even tell him, get healed? He said, stand up. So the question is, was he even, maybe he was just locked in this place of, man, I've been like this for 38 years. He didn't tell him, get healed, just says, stand up. Is it possible that you're locked into your issues so much? What you need to hear today is, stand up. Now, you cannot do that on self-will. You need Jesus on that one. You can be so locked up on your issues. I don't have this. I don't have that. Or this happened. This did not happen. And God is saying to you, no, no, no. Do you want to get well? That is the question. Oh, you know, looking at the circumstances and the climate and the weather and the finance and the politics, I'm not sure. The question is, do you want to get well? That is the question. We have to get away from our personal storytelling and excusing to, yes, we want to get well. But you know, to do that, we have to confront the reality of who we are. When you do, repentance happens. In that story, he gets up, you can read further, he goes down and begins to sin some more. And Jesus finds him, tells him, stop sinning. And finally, he repents and he figures who healed him. The point I want to put across today is that to be renewed, we have to want it. To be renewed, we have to say, you know what? This is me. I have to confront this. God bless you.